This morning, our message will be taken from Colossians chapter 2, and I'm entitling the message from what is said in verse 10. You are complete in Him, complete in Christ. Now think about that. That's a glorious, glorious thought. Complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. All fullness dwells in Him, and you are complete. Complete, nothing lacking. Complete in Christ. This word complete means made full or filled up. We know the Lord Jesus Christ. All the fullness of God dwells in the Lord Jesus Christ for how long? Notice it says there, for in Him dwelleth from all eternity. All fullness dwells in the Lord Jesus Christ because He is Almighty God. From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. All fullness dwells in Him. Look at verse 19, Colossians chapter 1. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Why does all fullness dwell in Him? It pleased the Father to put all the fullness of salvation, redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You remember John chapter 1 when it says, of His fullness have all we received grace for grace. That's the reason for grace is grace. We are filled to the full in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this word again that's used over here. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians 1, chapter 9. It's the same word. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That word there, filled, is the exact same word that's used complete in chapter 2, verse 10. I love both words, complete in Christ and filled up in the Lord Jesus Christ. All that God requires of us to stand before Him completely justified and made righteous and sanctified is filled to the full in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers can't get any more sanctified, justified than they are right now in the Lord Jesus Christ. As I pointed out in the reading across the page in chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, it says the last part of that, Christ is all. Christ is all and in all. Would you have salvation? Well, Christ is all. Would you have the forgiveness of sin? The Lord Jesus Christ is all the forgiveness of sin. You remember in chapter 1, verse 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. So in redemption and salvation, Christ is all. And we're complete in Him. We're complete in Him. You cannot add to that which is complete, full, or made whole. We have all things fully, freely provided for us by His grace. God who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely, I like that word, freely give us all things? Bankrupt sinners need that salvation that's the free gift of God. Only that which the Lord provides in Christ is only that which the Lord will accept. We're accepted in the Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 1, Colossians 2, verse 1. I would that you knew what a great conflict, concern I have for you and for them, not only in Colossae, but for them in the neighboring city of Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Now, Paul spent 3 years in Ephesus preaching the gospel. And many, I'm sure, from Laodicea and Colossae came there to Ephesus to hear the Apostle Paul preach the gospel. And many of those people came there and heard and believed. And the Lord even raised up a preacher, a pastor of that church that's mentioned in the book of in the book of Colossians. His name is Epaphras. You remember back in chapter 1, verse 7, he says, "Also you learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ." So God raised up a people and raised up a pastor and raised up a church, a gospel church there to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God is still doing those same things today. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. One of the greatest blessings God can give to any community or any people is a God-called, God-sent gospel preacher. What a blessing. The Lord has raised up men and sent them to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And their heart concern, as Paul says there in verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, that their hearts might be knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, the mystery of godliness. Look back at chapter 1. He mentions that. Look at verse 25, Colossians 1, 25. "Wherefore I made a minister according to the dispensation which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory." Paul desired their spiritual well-being and was concerned for them, that their hearts might be comforted. You see that? What does our heart, what comforts a sinful, guilty heart? Knowing that Christ put away all our sin, that their hearts might be knit together in love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You see what he's saying there? That their hearts might be comforted, that they might be knit together in love in Christ unto all riches of the full assurance of acknowledging, a full assurance of understanding the mysteries of God, how God can be just and justify the ungodly, the mysteries of God. He's given us an understanding, and he's given us knowledge of him. We know the Son of God has come. John said he's given us an understanding that we might know him that is true, and we're in him that is true, even in God, the eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The mystery of God and the Father and of Christ. Christ in you. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, notice verse 3. Colossians 2, verse 3. In whom? So that's the key here. In whom? In Christ. In Christ we are comforted. In Christ we have love. In Christ we have assurance. In Christ we have understanding. In the Lord Jesus Christ we have the knowledge of God in Christ. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. These treasures are hidden in Christ. They're not discovered naturally. They have to be revealed that God has put all the treasures of wisdom. You think of all the wisdom of God, knowing how God can be just and justifier, how he can be a just God and a Savior, all the treasures of salvation, redemption, love, grace, and mercy are all bound up in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto his children, in whom are hid all the treasures of his grace, the riches of his grace, the riches of his love, the riches of his mercy. You remember Ephesians chapter 2. Turn over there, Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 4. Ephesians 2, verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what He's saying there? In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom, all the treasures of knowledge, all the treasures of His grace, mercy, love, and peace are all in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Look at verse 4. And this I say, now I'm saying this, Paul's saying, I'm concerned for you. And this I say, lest any man should beguile or deceive you with enticing words of man's wisdom. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying, rejoicing, and beholding your order. Your order. Ordered in all things and is sure. That is the covenant of grace. And the steadfastness of your faith in Christ Jesus. Now, saving faith has just one object. Saving faith is not based upon emotion. The foundation of faith is the Word of God, right? The object of faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. Saving faith doesn't look in here. All we see in here is emptiness. Saving faith is always looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Beholding your order. It's the order of grace and the steadfastness of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Saving faith does not quit. Saving faith perseveres. You remember in chapter 1, look at verse 21. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. He said, and you that were sometimes alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight if you continue in the faith. And that's what saving faith does. Saving faith continues in the faith, being grounded, settled, rooted. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. Saving faith looks to Christ. Starts in faith. We walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. Always looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. The steadfastness and order of your faith. Now look at verse 6. As you therefore received the Lord Jesus Christ, now walk in Him. Now, I love that word received. It says, doesn't say here, as you therefore earned the Lord Jesus Christ, walk you in Him. As you therefore have received Him. Now, how do we receive Him? We received Him as the gift of God's love to us. We receive Him by God-given faith, for by grace are you saved through faith. You have therefore, as you have therefore received the Lord Jesus Christ, how did you receive Him? We received Him as Lord. We received Him as prophet, priest, and king. Now He says here, walk ye in Him. Again, it's talking about persevering in the faith, continuing in the faith. As you therefore have received Him. As you've received Him by grace, now continue in the grace of God. Walking and living by faith, looking, learning, and leaning upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me and take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So we receive Him as Lord and we walk in Him by faith. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 4, it is of faith that it might be by grace, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. So as you've received Him by the grace of God, the Lord Jesus Christ says everything. Now, live in Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. Walk in Him. Live in Him. Look to Him. And then look at verse 7. Being rooted. Being rooted in Him. Built up in Him. Established in the faith as you've been taught. And then abounding with thanksgiving. Now look at those things in verse 7. Rooted Rooted. When I think of things being rooted, what do you think of? I think of a tree being rooted. And this is what he's talking about here. Believers, like a tree, have been planted by the river of the water of life, and their roots grow deep in grace in him. We're rooted in him. We're grounded in him. And then he says we're built up in him. Trees planted by the Lord Jesus Christ have all their nourishment from him. He's the true vine. We're the branches. And then it says built up in him. Now this is not being puffed up with pride. This is being established in him. Built up in him. Resting and fixed upon the foundation that God has laid. Now, some of you men are builders or in the construction business. And when you build a building, what's the first thing you do? After you have the plan and the blueprint and all that, you dig a foundation. You wouldn't dare build a building on the sand, would you? That wouldn't last. So we're rooted in him, deeply, deeply rooted in his grace, his mercy, his love. And then we're built upon him. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. You remember the scripture? Which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Isaiah says this. It's recorded in Isaiah. Behold, I lay in Zion for foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. Those who rest on that foundation are never confounded. And then established here. Established in the faith. That is, taught by him. And that's how we're established. We're taught by him. Remember our Lord said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. And all those who have heard and learned of the Father, they've been taught by him, they come to him. Taught by him. He is the teacher and he is the lesson. He is the lesson that he teaches. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the light. I am the door. I am the bread of life. I am the life of the world. I am light. I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. Everything is relative to him in saving mercy. And then he says, abounding with thanksgiving. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift of his love, his mercy, and his grace unto us. It's unspeakable, isn't it? Describe to me the love of God. Describe to me the mercy of God. It's beyond comprehending and it's beyond describing what it is. Oh, the depth of the wisdom of the love of God, the depths and riches of his wisdom and of his grace. But this scripture comes to mind, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of his love. Beyond comprehension, isn't it? But we do rejoice in it, and we are thankful. We say with David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And then he comes with another warning in verse 8, beware. Beware. You ever take a walk in a neighborhood and you see a sign on the fence that says, beware, dog on premises, or beware, you're under surveillance. That is, take note, be cautious. What he's saying here, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, the philosophy of human intellectualism, or vain, empty deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So we need to beware. Beware of some things. Beware of false teachers. God hedges us about with promises lest we despair, and warnings lest we presume. Don't assume that everyone who calls himself a preacher is sent of God or is preaching the gospel, because our Lord warned many false prophets have gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1 says this, beloved, believe not every spirit, But try the spirits, talking about preachers, whether they be of God, because many false prophets have gone out into this world. My pastor used to have a saying. He said, be careful who you listen to. Everybody who calls himself a preacher is not sent of God. He said, the woods are full of preachers. And I found that to be true over the years. Everybody seemed to be a preacher, but they're not called of God. They're not sent of God. So beware. Now, he mentions here three or four things about philosophy, which is talking about human philosophy. Philosophy is what? Thoughts. Remember our Lord said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. All of our thoughts, naturally speaking, about God and the way of salvation are totally wrong. Totally wrong. It's just the opposite. We think salvation is about what we do. It's just the opposite. It's what he has done for us. So beware of human philosophy, human thoughts. People often say, well, you know, I don't know what the Bible says, but I think, beware. They put their thoughts above what God says. Beware of this philosophy. And then it says, secondly, beware of the traditions of men. Our Lord said this in Matthew 15, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. As I said a moment ago, the foundation of faith is the Word of God. It's not based upon religious tradition. There are so many religious traditions in our day that have been passed down through the years, and they're all totally contrary to the gospel of God's grace. And he mentions there the rudiments of the world, or the elements of the world. Things that are not after the Lord Jesus Christ are to be quickly disregarded. You see, grace and works will not mix. Law and faith will not mix. It's all of grace or it's all of works. It cannot be a combination of both. And my friend, this book teaches that salvation is by the grace of God alone, by the purpose and grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. It's not free will and free grace. It can't be both. This book teaches the free and sovereign grace of God, not the free will work of man. Man's will is always downward and selfward, never Godward and upward. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Now, look at verse 9. I said all that to get to this point. For in him, it all gets relative to in him. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him we walk and move and believe and have our being. In him dwelleth all the fullness of God, the Godhead, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who would you say the Lord Jesus Christ is? Many in religion have different opinions about who this man is. Jesus of Nazareth. Who is he? Our Lord said, I and my Father are one. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen God, for I and my Father, we are one. In him dwells all the fullness of God in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice, in him dwelleth, always, continually, from everlasting to everlasting. He is our God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. When the Lord Jesus Christ was manifested in the flesh, he became what he was not, but he remained what he is, eternal, holy God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The fullness of God, the Godhead, the fullness of the divine Trinity, all perfections of deity, eternity, immutability, all the attributes of God reside permanently in the Lord Jesus Christ as the God-man mediator, for he is the eternal God. Why does all fullness dwell in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, chapter 1, verse 19 said it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell. It pleased God. This is my beloved Son, he said, whom I am well pleased. Now, here's the contrast. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of God. Fullness of God dwells in Christ, resides eternally in him. We are just the opposite. By nature, we are empty vessels, right? Empty vessels of all that is good and holy. The apostle describes us by nature without God, without hope, and without Christ. Empty, empty of anything good, right, and holy. Empty vessels need to be filled with the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the only thing we're full of, iniquities by nature. We're full of sin, iniquities, transgression that need to be put away. By nature, we're full of that. But we're emptied of anything good and godly. There's none good but God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Isaiah describes us from the head of our foot, from our head to the bottom of our foot, head to toe, nothing but iniquities, sores that haven't been treated, bound up or mollified with ointment. Head to foot, nothing but open, running sores. We need His fullness. We need His righteousness. Thanks be to God, in Christ crucified, we have the full atonement for our sin, our iniquities, and our transgression. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. In Christ, we have the fullness of redemption. He redeemed us with His own blood. In Lord Jesus Christ, we have the fullness of righteousness established in Him. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord would impute righteousness without works. Now, I thought about this. Where did Abraham find the fullness of salvation? Where did Abraham? God said to Abraham, believe God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Where did Abraham find the fullness of salvation? Our Lord said of Abraham, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Abraham found the fullness of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where did Moses find the fullness of all salvation? Did Moses look to the law for salvation? No, sir. Our Lord said of him, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. Moses wrote about me. Moses' hope of salvation was the fullness of salvation revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ and how believers are made complete in Him. Where did Isaiah find the fullness of salvation? Remember Isaiah 53 where he writes, he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our sins, our iniquities, and with his stripes we are healed. It pleased God to bruise him in our room and in our stead, and in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty in Christ crucified is satisfied. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So Abraham found the fullness of salvation in Christ. He stood complete in him. Moses found the fullness of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah, he's the Lord God our Savior. How about Job? Job, old Job. They say that's the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job. Where did Job find the fullness of salvation? What did Job say? I know my Redeemer liveth. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. How about Peter? Where did Peter find the fullness of salvation? Well, listen to his sermon on the day of Pentecost, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified the Lord of glory, but God raised him from the dead. Peter said, we're redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where did Peter find the fullness of salvation? In the Lord Jesus Christ. Where did he find the completeness of salvation? And you are complete in him? In the Lord Jesus Christ. How about John? Peter in John. Where did John find the fullness of salvation? This is eternal life, John writes, that you might know him that is eternal life, and that you might be found in him. You can go through all those old patriarchs, the apostles, and all the prophets. Where did they find the fullness of salvation? Where were they resting in the completeness of the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ? They found it all to be fulfilled in him. To him give all the prophets witness. In him, you see verse 9 again, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Is that your hope? Do you have any other hope than to being complete in Christ? Nothing lacking. Everything that God demands of a sinner is found in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He's all fullness toward God and all fullness toward his people. And we're complete in him, filled to the full in him. Nothing needs to be added by us or anyone else. Of his fullness have all we received, grace because of grace. That's what John writes in John chapter 1. Now, in closing, I want you to look at this. We quote this scripture all the time. Maybe someone here hasn't seen this. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, some of you know what verse I'm going to read. Verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Everything God requires of us is found in Christ. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. He is our wisdom. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. And he is our redemption. Now, if you're in him, but of God are you in Christ. How'd you get in him? He put me in there, in that eternal covenant of grace. He is my wisdom. You remember we read a moment ago, in him in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is my righteousness, the fullness of righteousness we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is our sanctification. How does he sanctify us? By the one offering he perfected forever, them that are sanctified. And he is our redemption. Am I repeating myself? Good. He is our redemption, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. And you are complete in him. He is our head. He is our Lord. He is our King. You remember we read in Colossians chapter 1, for he is before all things, by him all things consist. Verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, the glory in all things. What's true of the head is true of the body. What's true ahead of the head is true of us, because we're in him. Vitally connected to the Lord Jesus Christ.